This is what we believe at Daleville Christian Church, as stated in a speech of the apostles, Acts chapter 2 of Acts, verses 22 through 24. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. He was put to death by nailing him to the cross, but God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. Today's reading from God's Word is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, verses 17 through 19. He went down with them and stood on a level place. This would be Jesus. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by unclean spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. The year was 1988. I'll let that sink in a moment. The year was 1988, and one of the number one songs that year was Bobby McFerrin's recording, Don't Worry, Be Happy. It's a great song. By the way, to those of you who are music-minded, the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, was the first a cappella song to ever become number one on Billboard's chart. It is a wonderful song, I love it, but it's a terrible guide to mental health. We're going to talk about mental health today, mostly because I didn't finish talking about it 2 weeks ago, and I will review that for you shortly. Abraham Lincoln is credited with saying that most people are about as happy as they decide to be. And like all partial truths, what Lincoln said is partially true. We can decide to be happy. However, some of us have brains and brain chemistry that is not going to help us be happy. For those of us with genetic and chemical challenges to our mental health, we have to work at being happy. Yes, work at it. What is mental health? Well, it's hard to define. Mental health is one of those things you take for granted while you have it, and then one of those things, if you lose it, you can't find it or fix it. I'm not going to talk you into believing your mental health is poor, but I offer a couple of things for you. First of all, in the sermon notes, I quoted for you the sources that point to the challenges to our mental health by simply living here in East Central Indiana. Now, that doesn't mean living here will make you depressed, and living somewhere else won't automatically make you happy either. But secondly, as I pointed out 2 weeks ago, Jesus reestablished a man's mental health. Mark chapter 5, the first 20 verses. A man who was terribly afflicted. Jesus healed the man. And the man was later seen, described as being in his right mind. And that's a quote from your Bible. A few weeks ago, I mentioned another person who was demon-possessed. They also demonstrated clear symptoms of what we would call mental illness. Their behavior was out of control and self-destructive. But in that case, Mark chapter 9, Jesus said it would take work. Follow the instructions for prayer and maybe fasting in order to drive out this kind of affliction. So many Christians, without thinking, will say of many mental afflictions, well, you just need faith. That isn't what Jesus instructed. So let's pay attention to what Jesus said. Often those being healed had to do things, instructions to follow for their healing. In many studies on happiness and brain chemistry, the studies agree religious faith and prayer are demonstrated working tools in the fight to be in your right mind. Now, it's never been a secret among my siblings that our grandmother was not a happy person. We have three photos of her smiling in her entire life, and she lived to be 91. Three photos. She was not one of those cookie-baking, welcome to my house, glad to see you kind of grandmothers. That was not her. My best guess was that my grandmother was traumatized as a teenager by the death of her mother. But she also may have had a brain chemistry that predisposed her to depression. And I may have inherited her brain chemistry. That is my guess. And I don't think I was the only one affected. What that means is that on a happiness scale of 1 to 10, with 10 being deliriously happy, Christmas morning happy, and most people live at 5 and 6, my brain settles in at 3. The good news is that even if my brain settles there, I don't have to settle for 3. And when I read the Bible, I see Jesus wanting people to live at a higher number than 3 on a scale of 10. I have never seen new life in Christ as settling for anything. I have never seen new life in Christ as settling for anything. And certainly not a 3 on a scale of 10. Unless that, of course, is where you want to live. Let me put it another way. Is the glass half empty or is the glass half full? Yes, it is. The glass is half empty and the glass is half full. And since that is what the glass is, you have some input as to whether you're going to be a glass half empty person or a glass half full person. You get to decide. And I'm not just talking about optimism or being happy. I'm talking about clinical depression, suicidal thinking, and psychological pain. You have some input on that. I don't see Jesus expecting anyone to live there. Jesus said, "I have come to give you life and give it abundantly." Our Lord Jesus said, "I've come to bring you life and bring it abundantly." There are other translations of this verse. I share them with you. One translation says, bring you life more abundantly. Another translation says, bring you life in abundance. Another one says, bring you life in all its fullness. And another one says, bring you life in the fullest possible way. The Wycliffe version says, to bring you life plenteously. And I didn't even know that was a word. Bring you life plenteously. Life needs to be seen as a gift as God intended, not an endurance contest. If you're like me, you've taken your mental health for granted. You figure until someone diagnoses you as mentally ill, then you figure you're mentally healthy. Perhaps we're misusing words here. We may or may not have been mentally ill. What we assumed that if we were functional, we were mentally healthy. Well, let me ask this. If your vehicle runs, is that all you want from your vehicle? I had a vehicle once that literally did not fire on all cylinders. That was pretty tough going. On that one trip, I don't think I ever achieved the speed limit. But hey, it ran. If that's your definition of mental health, then I guess you're fine. And you can tell people that. How are you today? Well, I'm fine. But I believe that Jesus wanted more for us than that. I believe that abundant life is more than simply being fine. I believe that Jesus wanted health for us, and that included mental health. I don't believe Jesus promised you that you're going to settle for fine. And as I've insisted in Jesus' opening message in Nazareth, Jesus stated this truth clearly in his first public reading and lesson from God's Word from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 61. Jesus began his public career saying, "I have come to proclaim freedom, recovery of sight, and to set the oppressed free. You might not be sure this proclamation applies to you, but it does. Now, I don't want to bore you with this detail, but I've noticed Luke makes a distinction concerning impure spirits and evil spirits. It may be that Luke intends to tell us again that in the variety of ailments, whether the spirits are impure or evil or demonic, that afflicted the population, whatever afflicted people, Jesus cured them all. Whatever kept people from receiving the fullness of life that Jesus came to give people, Jesus healed them. Again, today's Bible verse. Jesus went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, that's in the south, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, that's to the north and on the border and beyond of where you would find Jesus' people. And they had all come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, all of them. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. No matter where people came from, no matter what troubled them, what disease they had, impure spirit, it didn't matter. They were all healed. I mentioned a few weeks ago that Mark's gospel book tells us of several demonic possessions and exorcisms. Mark tells us about or mentions Jesus healing those who were possessed 9 times. Mark doesn't tell us just once or twice, but 9 times that Jesus healed those possessed. In Mark chapter 5, it's the longest report and the most detailed report of Jesus driving out a demon. Now, some people don't get into these verses because they don't believe in spirit possession, or they don't believe in evil spirits, they don't believe in Satan. Mark doesn't preach on that, and I'm not either. I'm not going to preach on it. I'll just ask you to notice what Jesus and Jesus' people saw and reported. But as I would have you notice, the possessed have many symptoms or descriptions that we use for the mentally ill. And that reinforces the clue that the man's behavior is somehow involuntary. But being healed and right-minded, self-controlled, tells us that the man's affliction has a mental and emotional component to it. However else you might want to diagnose this poor man, he certainly was mentally ill. Jesus healed this man of his mental and emotional affliction. The man was given his faculties back. I just mentioned other self-destructive behaviors like addictions. People who are addicts have trouble controlling their behavior, and eventually most addictions will destroy you. The most extreme example of self-destruction is suicide. Here is the testimony of a woman who was suicidal for 18 years. Let's let that sink in for a moment. She writes, "For 18 years, I lived with suicidal thoughts." And I don't think at this point I need to trot out statistics on suicide for you. This woman was hospitalized 3 times for suicide attempts. Now she's an author who wants to help those who suffer from suicidal thinking. So she writes in her book, "This book is about staying alive and healthy. Spirituality and meditation may be unfamiliar to some, but they are the most significant tools for release and relief. Had I not incorporated each into my life, my healing would have remained at a snail's pace. Until I started praying, did my internal life begin to shift." life in the Spirit, prayer, but not the only tools she discovered. But she discovered those tools to be basic tools. There was also medication, there was counseling, there was therapy. Many who suffer from depression have to take their physical health seriously. They have to. One author I read was also suicidal, was a runner, a mother of two. When someone observed that she must be very strong, she replied, "No, it's because I'm so fragile that I have to exercise. My brain won't make it if I don't exercise." And that woman was a devout Christian. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary." Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." Jesus came to us healing us. He is the fulfillment of God's promise to us. Again, today's Bible verses. A great number of people from all over Judea and from the coastal region who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. Those troubled were cured. And the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Amen.